40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
It's a big boxing weekend coming up. In addition to the Floyd Mayweather-Conor McGregor fight on Saturday night in Las Vegas, the AIBA World Boxing Championships begin Friday in Hamburg, Germany. Reporter Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori has this preview for us from Hamburg.
German city of Hamburg will host the Association of International Amateur Boxing, AIBA, 2017 championships from August 25th to September 2nd. Boxers from the continents will compete for honors in various divisions at Sporthalle Hamburg, a popular boxing venue in the heart of the city, and Africa, being no exception, is participating with 40 boxers. Cameroon is coming to the games with 5 boxers to compete in the flyweight, lightweight, heavyweight, and super heavyweight. Egypt and Congo are competing with 4 boxers each in a different ways. Angola, Namibia, Democratic Republic of Congo, and Zambia are showing up with 2 boxers each in other categories, while Algeria, Kenya, Mauritius, Morocco, and Uganda will be at the championships with 3 boxers each. Taking part in the games with a boxer each are Botswana, Cape Verde, Tunisia, and Madagascar. The Amateur World Boxing Championships is the most significant after the Olympic competitions and are staged every 2 years. For the sunny side of sports, Kwabena Ofori in Hamburg, Germany.
Thanks, Kwabena. Kwabena mentioned how Uganda is sending 3 boxers to Hamburg. Uganda's national boxing team is nicknamed the Bombers, and the head coach of the Ugandan Bombers is Patrick Lihanda.
Mostly we have been working on speed work movement, because recently we were in Congo Brazzaville. Our boxers were just fighters, but now I think the system has changed because we have the computer scoring system, these international tournaments. But now my boys are picking up, especially if you see my welterweight, Kakande, the bantamweight also, they are picked up. And if you tell them to box tomorrow, I guess they are ready.
That's Patrick Lihanda, Uganda's national boxing team coach. Meanwhile, Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor held their final news conference in Las Vegas, where their much-anticipated mega fight takes place Saturday night. And as you might expect from two of the cockiest athletes in the world, Mayweather and McGregor exchanged a few verbal jabs and verbal barbs. First, we'll hear from unbeaten Floyd Mayweather.
August 26th, he's going to bring his best. And it's not going to be easy, Conor. It's not going to be easy. Remember, Pacquiao got bombs. Canelo got bombs. Shane Mosley had bombs. And all those guys are going in the Hall of Fame. But one thing about me, I got a granite chin. But remember this, the same way you give it, you have to be able to take it. Remember this.
Remember this, Voice of America boxing fans. Floyd Mayweather has proven throughout his 21-year prize-fighting career that he can give it and he can take it. He'll be going for his 50th consecutive victory on Saturday night. McGregor, though, is unproven as a professional boxer. He's used to kicks and wrestling moves in the mixed martial arts octagon. The Irishman has never thrown a punch in an official pro boxing bout. McGregor certainly doesn't lack confidence, though.
I'm gonna f*** this boy up, make no mistake. And when it's all said and done, you know what? I'm gonna feel a little bit sad, because you should have all kept your mouth shut. You should have left me over on that other game that I'm from, that more ruthless game where we bounce heads off the canvas and drill them into the floor. You should have left me where I was, because this man is not on my level. He's not even a quarter of the man I am. So we're going to see, and and you're all going to eat your words in there. So,
media reports suggest Conor McGregor could pull in a payday Saturday night in the $100 million range, by far the biggest purse of his life. And our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta, says it's possible Mayweather could pocket more than twice that amount, making this one of the most lucrative fights in history. And that big money has the notorious Conor McGregor thinking about fighting in both boxing and mixed martial arts down the road.
After I get victory on Saturday night, I will most certainly be looking to compete in both sports. I was joking, but I was actually thinking about it. Maybe going forward, since I'm the king of the boxing ring and the king of the octagon already, well, then maybe when I've conquered both, maybe I might just create my own hybrid of an octagon and a boxing ring or something.
At the pre-fight news conference in Las Vegas, Floyd Mayweather also had some words of praise for his opponent Saturday night.
Conor McGregor had a hell of a career, still got a hell of a career. He's a hell of a fighter, a hell of a fighter. He's a stand-up guy. He's a tough competitor. It's not going to be an easy fight. It's going to be blood, sweat, and tears Saturday. That's what we're here to get the fans, and that's what we want to get the people all around the world.
Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor, Saturday night in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. Turning to African athletics, the continent's top official says he hopes to see an African country stage the 2025 IAAF World Championships. Hamad Kalkaba Maboum, the president of the Confederation of African Athletics, says his organization is in talks with six countries about a possible bid. They are Kenya, South Africa, Nigeria, Algeria, Egypt, and Morocco. The Moroccans staged an IAAF Diamond League meet last month in Rabat. Also last month, the Kenyans hosted the IAAF Under-18 World Championships and received high marks for their overall organization in the capital, Nairobi. The 66-year-old Maboum, who is from Cameroon, says IAAF President Sebastian Coe is in favor of a bid from Africa. If successful, it would mark the first time an African country has staged the IAAF World Championships at the senior level. Maboum says African countries have come to understand the importance of the event after showing little interest in the competition in the past. In Maboum's words, and I quote, "I think many African countries now realize that staging the championships could put the nation on the world map in terms of publicity and promoting tourism. So there is a benefit from hosting the event." London hosted the 2017 World Championships earlier this month at its Olympic Stadium. The 2019 World Championships will be staged in Doha, Qatar, and the 2021 Championships in the northwestern U.S. city of Eugene, Oregon. Meanwhile, 11-time world champion Usain Bolt, often called the world's fastest man, looks like he'll be involved with fast food in his next career. The 31-year-old Bolt hung up his track spikes after the World Championships in London. According to the British magazine, The Caterer, Bolt's second career will include being a fast casual restaurant mogul. Bolt is an equity partner in Tracks and Records, which sells the food of his native Jamaica. The Caterer reports that 15 locations are scheduled to open across the United Kingdom in the next 5 years. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Turning to tennis, the year's final Grand Slam tournament, the U.S. Open, begins Monday in New York. On the women's side, six-time U.S. Open champion Serena Williams will not compete because of pregnancy, while Victoria Azarenka, a two-time U.S. Open finalist from Belarus, has withdrawn because of a family issue. With these big names missing, that could open the door for other female players. To find out more, my VOA colleague Andrew Palcheski called Giddy Nathan, the tennis writer for Deadspin.com. And Giddy told Andrew that U.S. Open women's singles door could be swinging open for a 23-year-old Spanish player.
Yeah, I think Muguruza has really proved herself as the real deal in these last few months. She had a pretty commanding victory over Halep, I believe it was 6-1 or 6-0. And she's coming off a Wimbledon win over Venus Williams that by the second set was similarly decisive. So she's definitely shown that she can play excellent tennis in a final. And I would not be surprised if she had a very strong run at the U.S. Open. Halep, meanwhile, has been playing great tennis, but has had a rough record in finals this year. It's the kind of performance that you'd be quick to attribute to choking or something like that, but I still think she'll continue to play really well at the year's last major, and she'll be one to look out for, too. And given that it's likely to be the last major without Serena in the draw, I'm sure all the younger players will be eager to take advantage of that. One name that we'll see coming back as well is Maria Sharapova, who's been awarded a wild card into the draw, which has caused a little bit of controversy.
So do you think that Sharapova could make a run at it, or maybe another veteran like Venus Williams? This is going to be her 21st U.S. Open. She's already gotten to the final of Australia and Wimbledon this year. What about maybe not just the young guns, but some of the older, more experienced players?
Yeah, I think Venus will continue to be a threat. I mean, she's had an incredible year. As you mentioned, she's been in the finals of the two of the three majors this year. Her game translates very well to hardcourt, too. She's had success there in the past, so she'll definitely be one to look out for. Sharapova right now feels a little bit too much of an unknown, given that we've only gotten to see her play a handful of matches this season. But she did play fairly well, if not well enough to for us to expect big things at the U.S. Open. But it's a question that I think a lot of people are very eager to see answered is, can she recover from kind of the long absence from the tour and whatever reputational damage and sort of the whole emotional arc of that saga? And this will be her first major back, so we'll see.
Certainly a lot of pressure on her, and I know the media in New York has a lot of attention trained on Maria Sharapova as she makes that comeback. What about maybe some of the wild cards? Are there any names that we might see pop up that would be surprises on the women's side?
I don't know about wild cards per se, but I do think I'd be very excited to see what happens with our French Open champion, Yelena Ostapenko. Very young player, relatively unexpected winner of the French, the first, I believe, unseeded champion in many, many decades. She's got a very big attacking game. You always see lots of winners and lots of errors in her stat sheets, and it's a very fun style of play to watch. I'm personally pretty excited to watch and see how her career progresses, because I think tennis really does need those kind of flashy attacking players to enliven the rallies.
And I have to ask you the put you on the spot question: who do you think for the women's side will win the U.S. Open this year?
Tough one. I think I really like how Muguruza has played over the last few hardcourt tournaments, and Cincinnati to me cemented that she can really win this thing. She's playing really well. I wouldn't see Venus falling out anytime before quarterfinals either, so let's see what happens there.
That's Giddy Nathan, the tennis writer for Deadspin.com. And Giddy was talking with my VOA colleague, Andrew Palcheski. And we'll hear more tennis commentary from Giddy Nathan on Friday's Sunny Side of Sports. Andrew Palcheski joins us once again here in Studio 22 for a look at sports social media trends. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. I was going to say that guy sounded familiar in that interview.
It sounds like Giddy Nathan likes the chances of Muguruza.
Yeah, she's definitely one to watch. She's had a good hardcourt season. She showed that she can play on the big stage, winning the French Open, winning Wimbledon. In the field that lacks players like Serena Williams and Victoria Azarenka, there aren't too many players that have gone to Grand Slam finals before, let alone won them, let alone won multiple Grand Slams. So she's definitely put herself ahead of the pack in that regard. But really, with Serena out, it's anybody's game. You could look at easily 8 to 10 players and say that any one of them could win it, whether it's Muguruza or Caroline Wozniacki, who's gone to the final before at the U.S. Open, or Venus Williams, who has won the U.S. Open before. So it really could be anybody there. It's going to be a really fun tournament to watch on the women's side.
Yeah, as you said, don't count out Venus. It looks like she's still got some game left.
She's got some game left. You have Karolina Pliskova, who's the world number one right now. She's got that pressure. You have Angelique Kerber, who is the defending champion. She's had a bit of a slump recently, but any of these women could make a deep run and win the whole thing.
Well, Andrew, what's trending on this Thursday?
Well, we've got a bunch of soccer stories to talk about, and we'll start with Usman Dembele, the winger from Dortmund, apparently will be heading to Barcelona. There was some talk about him maybe going there after Neymar left Barcelona. Well, he may be going there to Barca. And I say allegedly because it's not finalized yet, still working out some of the details, but reportedly could be signed for 120 million euro. So a very big payday for him. And a nice connection to Africa. His mother is Mauritanian and Senegalese in descent. His father is from Mali. So he plays in France. He's French, but could be heading off to Spain very shortly.
Barca gets those big players, don't they?
They always do. Even when they lose a big player, they find a way to get another one to replace them.
Well, I hear another big-name player is trending, Andrew.
Yes, Zlatan Ibrahimovic signing a new one-year deal with Manchester United. He says, "It's time to finish what I started." I guess a new year, new number. He's moved one up. He was wearing number 9. Now he's going to be wearing number 10 for Man U. In fact, there's a video out of him putting on that new number 10 jersey, so that sealed the deal there with that video. But an interesting social media post that he put out, he puts out a photo that appears to show him wearing a long white robe. It's kind of an edited photo where his head is photoshopped on top of this body. He's wearing a long white robe, arm wrestling the devil, and it says, "I united it." Fans saying it's a bit over the top, but Zlatan Ibrahimovic, I think that's one of the ways you could describe him, over the top, saying that he's comparing himself to God or Jesus. Fans saying that he's a god among men when it comes to soccer, so maybe it's fitting, but big way to make that big announcement there, staying with Man U.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, from football, we move to American football in the National Football League. We've talked about on the show previously, Colin Kaepernick, the former NFL quarterback, has not been hired by any teams. He's still jobless, some saying because he knelt for the national anthem to protest the treatment of African Americans by police, that teams don't want to hire him, that he's seen as a distraction. And we talked about on the show previously, there was going to be a big rally at the National Football League headquarters in New York in support of Colin Kaepernick. And that rally indeed took place yesterday afternoon. Lots of signs from that rally on social media. People there involved with the Black Lives Matter movement. And the one phrase we keep seeing over and over again that's made its way onto social media from this rally, no Kaepernick, no NFL. Fans are pledging to boycott the National Football League if Kaepernick isn't hired. So we're seeing lots of attention on that. Meanwhile, though, other NFL players have begun kneeling or sitting during the national anthem. Now, some people are saying that it shows that Kaepernick isn't being punished for his views because those players who are kneeling aren't being punished for their views. So it's a little interesting dynamic that we have there, whether it's Kaepernick's play on the field that has resulted in him not being signed or if it's because of his political views. Meanwhile, as this rally is going on, Kaepernick's making headlines for a different reason. He donated $100,000 to nonprofit groups and community organizations. It's part of a $1 million pledge that he's issued. He's given about $800,000 of that so far, but giving a list of all different groups around the country that he's doling out, you know, $10,000 here, $20,000 there, to try to help these groups. So trying to do some good in the midst of all this turmoil that's going on.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Twitter and Facebook. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports, and my Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Andrew, I was scrolling through my Facebook feed before the show. Floyd Mayweather has put out a video today with the caption, "God believes in me. America believes in me. Even the Irish believe in me." A little poke there at Conor McGregor. I guess these two guys are trending, huh?
Oh, they are indeed. There was one last bit of hype before the big fight this weekend, although we don't know if it's the last bit. There could be more. Knowing these two guys, I wouldn't be surprised if the weigh-in gets very heated or God knows what. But the Mayweather and McGregor meeting at this press conference before this fight, where it was announced that the winner of the fight, Sonny, will get a championship money belt. And there's a reason why they call this the money belt. It is apparently made of 1.5 kilograms of 24 karat gold. Mm. It has over 3,300 diamonds, 600 sapphires, wow. 300 emeralds. It has Italian alligator. This belt is the real deal. So whoever's going to be hoisting this belt, it was well-deserved payday for them. But while Mayweather was posing with that belt after that press conference, a heckler told him, "Don't get too comfortable with that belt, Floyd." He actually confronted that fan. He said, "What's your name?" The fan said, "Alex." He said, "Alex, you're going to regret those words on Saturday night." So that video is making the rounds in addition to the one that Mayweather just posted today. McGregor, meanwhile, posted a picture of their final face-to-face, and he wrote, "A beautiful skull and a beautiful belt to add to my collection of skulls and belts." Very ominous stuff from Conor McGregor, but the hype and the back and forth between these two guys unabated on social media, and I think we're going to continue to see it right up until Saturday, and probably even after. Regardless of what happens in the fight, I think they're still going to be sniping at each other.
I agree. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny.
And that wraps up the August 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Zubair. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The campaign against ISIS has dramatically accelerated over the past 6 months. Since 2014, when ISIS was at the height of its power, the group has lost about 78% of the territory it used to hold in Iraq and about 58% of the territory it used to hold in Syria. They can no longer operate there. Nearly 30% of all the territory that has been retaken from ISIS, about 20,000 square kilometers, has actually happened in the last 6 months, said Special Presidential Envoy for the Global Coalition to Counter ISIS, Brett McGurk, at a recent press conference. Importantly, of all that territory that they have lost, they have not regained.
They have never been able to retake any of this ground, and we're going to make sure that that continues. Importantly, not just territory, but even more important, people. Almost 5 million people who had been living under ISIS are no longer living under ISIS. They have been liberated by coalition-enabled operations on the ground.
This change is due to four key changes that were put in place very early in the administration of President Donald Trump, said Special Envoy McGurk. First, the White House delegated tactical authority from Washington down through the chain of command to our commanders on the ground. That has made a tremendous difference in our ability to seize opportunities from ISIS. Second, we now conduct a campaign of annihilation. Prior to a military operation, we surround the enemy so that foreign fighters in particular cannot escape. Every foreign fighter that made its way into Syria and Iraq, we want to make sure that they can never make their way out of Syria and Iraq, said Mr. McGurk. Third, we look for ways to increase our burden sharing from the coalition. In other words, every member contributes. And finally, we engage every part of our government in the process to attack the enemy on every front, said Mr. McGurk. We're taking advantage of opportunities, working not just in Iraq and Syria, but also to sever the financial connections and propaganda networks that continue to fuel terrorist groups like this.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.